You're listening to the Fox in a Phoenix podcast, understanding the feminine cross-dressing experience.
I'm Savannah Hawk, dual gender male to female cross-dresser, LGBTQ plus advocate, TEDx speaker, and author of the Living with Cross-Dressing book series.
And I'm Julie Rubenstein, proud ally and co-founder of foxandhanger.com, a feminine styling and life coaching service for cross-dressers and transgender women.
Hey, Julie.
Hi, Savannah.
Hi. How are you today?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm good. I mean, I'm as well as I can be, considering for some reason yesterday I was shivering and it was really warm in the house. And I just felt my muscles start to ache. And I said, no, this will not happen.
Did it happen?
No. Yes. Yes. So I'm currently in denial about whatever is happening with my body. So.
I'm sorry.
I'm okay.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that because I'm also got a little bit of that sinus congestion and drippage, which makes me keep wanting to cough. It keeps me tickling. So if anybody hears some, that'll probably be me, but I'll try to edit out in post as best I can. Also, a little bit not usual today. Today, I got up a little late, slept hard, but woke up and just really groggy feeling. I went back to bed. Next thing I know, it's 10 a.m. And I'm like, wow, by the time I get any Savannahification done, let's call it that.
Yeah.
Any of that gets done, it'll be, close to noon. And, I'll get just a little bit written, researched, reviewed, whatever I had to do before we come on the show. Didn't feel like being Savannah was going to be really the best way to be productive and proficient. So I ended up just underdressing today, but not the normal, every day I go to work in panties underdressing, which to me at this point is really more, that's my everyday underwear. I don't even think about it as underdressing anymore. It's just part of my clothing. So for me, yeah. Underdress is just a little different. So today I went, still put on hip pads and pantyhose. I did a bra panty set. I did my waist cincher, wore my leggings, my yoga pants. I do wear normally, but not with hip pads on. So today I went out to Starbucks as Chuck, but still wearing, again, the leggings are female, but I had a shirt and a fleece top, male. Centric, and just went out. I mean, the only thing I did do, I didn't keep my breast forms in because obviously that was a little too defining to be sitting there in a Starbucks. But everything else was on show, on display, and nobody said anything. So we should probably do a whole episode on that about underdressing and best ways to do that.
Yeah,
so keep that in our pocket for later on, if you will. But for today, I wanted to tap a topic based on a question I was asked on a podcast I appeared on called Love and Dating Gurus with Dr. Dan, an industry experts podcast. So that's been out. You can look for it. I'll put it in the show notes. He asked me a question. I was like, well, if I am a man biologically and I'm transitioning, and but I like girls, or all of a sudden I like men. And he was asking me, how does that work? It's like, am I considered a lesbian? Am I considered hetero? He was trying to really play the gender and biology and sexuality all together And so I answered it, and you'll find my answer on that podcast. And I thought that was maybe a conversation we should have. Because, we touch on it a lot during our episodes and, throughout our career here as podcasters. But we really never, I think, dedicated an episode about the differences between sexuality and gender. So I figured today would be a good time to talk about that.
That's great. I think that if our beloved listeners have a chance to check out that interview, you nailed it. You nailed it so well. And it was so impressive because here this doctor is who has all the things, all the letters, next to his name, and has really been working in the field in many different fields under this umbrella of psychiatry, psychology. I mean, he had it all. Just the fact that you were in the pocket of all these things you are so well versed in and you know to be true next to this quote expert in the field, and still you were an expert when it came to filling in some of the nuances and filling in some of the mysteries that is your knowledge base. I was very proud. I think our listeners would be very proud and feel heard and seen. And I feel like the topic of sexuality and gender is something that it's new. It's something that for me and my process and working with this community, the fact that sexuality and gender are now seen as separate, as opposed to very much hand in hand in the narrative about what is, you know, what you were taught about, quote, human sexuality, what I was taught about, quote, human sexuality, is very different nowadays. And so I think that we've touched upon this in many episodes in terms of creating understanding through what is the cross-dressing experience. But I think that it's great to really go in, you know, hone in on this topic and really just unpack it for everyone. So yeah, I think it's great.
Thank you.
So let's get started.
Oh shit, yeah. Hey yo. You know. Yeah, the first thing I want to do is talk about some terms. Let's set some ground rules, but let's talk about some terms. So the first thing we need to decipher is biology and sex. All right. When people talk about biology, they interchange sex in the same breath, right? So like I said, what's the sex of the child? What's the biology of the child? Those are two terms that we need to understand that even like just for just the way we've said it for so many hundreds of years, that we don't say biology of the child. We say the sex of the child, which is already kind of leading you down a very specific path.
Right.
So there has been a tradition of saying, oh, what's your baby's sex? Oh, well, if the baby's sex is male, female. And again, we start talking about those tent poles of male versus female. It don't really talk about the intersex part of it. By the way, my cousin was in town and she worked as a nurse in the preemie wards. They got so many intersex babies, infants coming through. And she talked about it as if it was like almost normative, not just like one in a thousand. She was really talking about it as like they saw a lot of intersex babies coming through. So, you know, if we talk about biology, again, not just male, female, is male, female, intersex, and all sorts of other things I'm not going to talk about here because it's all in my upcoming book. So I don't want to give it all away. Sneak peek. Get you good little teasers. Get you thirsty. So that being said, now that's just ground rules as biology, but let's talk about sexuality versus gender. So gender, as we know, primarily has been masculine versus feminine, man versus woman. But again, the whole idea that gender is man or woman is also misleading because it's not true. As a lot of people say, and people could call it grooming, people could call it the liberal agenda, whatever, but it boils down to, you know, gender naming and labeling of gender has always been a construct. Whether in a lot of cultures it's different, actually, while we do accept male and female, masculine and feminine, we accept gender kind of inherently as those two are the most often associated with, but there is really is so much more out there. Agender, demigender, gender fluid, non-conforming. There's so many things out there that are in between and outside the purview of those two largely associated points. So with that, as we know, gender is internal. How we see ourselves is an internal conversation. Gender is not something that exists on our forehead just because of our biology. So the only way, well, not the only way, but much of the way that we define our gender is through how we present ourselves. So yes, biologically, we would mostly be seen as male, seen as female, just like, again, genitalia, we've talked about that before. Breast tissue, beards, body hair, all those things have like an inherent stereotypical association with maleness or femaleness. which again are the two larger tent poles here. But how we define our gender can be skewed by how we dress, how we take care of our body, meaning our external body, whether it be shaving or letting hair grow, or how we work out, and we can work on different areas to develop different parts of our body that make us feel more associated to who we are. Then you talk about the more surgical approaches, cosmetic, which is external, HRT, which is will become external, hopefully at a certain point. And then, you know, any other medical conditions that become even more hidden, pre-op, post-op, that is something you don't see when you're walking down the street, but yet people talk about it.
Also, the puberties are very different based on your biology.
That is true. That is true. That's when, you know, the kind of hormones kind of kick into overdrive based on your, your production. If you have a good production, a good delivery system of those hormones, either testosterone or estrogen or all the derivatives, then yes, that will affect puberty. And that is when we realize as a person, if our internal gender really is being displayed in our adolescent growth. If you're a kid and we're all kind of looking the same, we're very androgynous, let's say, from the age of like 0 to 8, you could see an 8-year-old boy with long hair and mistake them for a little girl, right? It's like, because we are all very much androgynous at that point, like you have very strong, striking features that are stereotypically male or female. But yeah, you hit puberty, it's going to be like, whoa, 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 why am I getting these things on my chest? Or why aren't I? Or mommy, daddy, why do I get all this hair all over me? It's like, I don't feel this way. I feel I should be more softer and feminine.
Right. And I've talked to a few pediatricians, actually. I don't know how I got so lucky to talk to a few pediatricians regarding the transgender experience, but they tell me that that is very much an indicator of if they're working with a transgender child, is that, you know, puberty overall, it's a hard and kind of awkward time, but the kind of radical dysphoria and the kind of trauma that comes with the transgender experience often comes during puberty.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. I didn't feel it as much. We've talked about this before, where I haven't really had that massive of dysphoria, like feeling completely wrong in my body. But I think that's more kind of non-binary nature of me and the dual gender of me, because there are aspects of both that I enjoy and like and cling to and associate with. So for me, it's always about the, how do you split the hairs? How do you best define yourself singly to have two different presentations? So that's actually seemingly, I'm not going to say more difficult, but it's a little more head scratching than somebody who knows they're in the wrong body and is doing everything they can do to get to that endpoint where I am biologically male, but I am going to be a woman with trans experience because at the end of the day, I see myself as a woman. Therefore, I am a woman. So all I need to do is match all my external components to that. So, you know, and that was kind of what we had said on that podcast when I answered that question, is that, you know, that person in that male body who is now post-op and is now attracted to men, the two things we talked about was like, well, that man, quote unquote, assigned to male birth, always saw themselves as a woman. So to be in that body matching to their identity, they are hetero now because they're attracted to men. And that's that in the definition is heterosexual. But he's like, well, they used to be a man. Well, they aren't. They never saw themselves that way. And maybe all that time they spent chasing the girl, mom says, when are you going to settle down and get yourself a girl and have a family? Those are all indoctrinated things that we are all told, depending on our biology, what we should be doing as we move forward in our lives. So that person could have been conditioned to say, I'm supposed to be with girls because that will make me normal. And so they chased the girl, they got the girl, they married the girl. So that was considered hetero, but in their heads, they probably deep, deep, deep in their dark recesses was thinking, I feel like I'm in a lesbian relationship because I'm also a woman. This is that question, right? It's like, you can't use biology to define sexuality. Even like if it changes over time, we are not static creatures. And so the idea that you have to do one or the other based on how we look is a terrible premise of causation. There's plenty of correlation, but your body does not dictate how you should love.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, it's so hard to regurgitate and think back to the genius you were able to bestow on this doctor. But I think that if we're able to come up like we're doing now with the little bits and bobs of it, in addition to really listening to that interview, I think that our listeners are in for a real treat. Because for me, as someone who continues to unlearn something that was taught to me from a very young age, it has been quite the experience. And I think now I'm starting to really feel like it is integrated. Like I have a whole understanding for humanity in a different way, in how I view it as the correct way. Now, this reminds me very much of a story I want to share. I also work as a preschool teacher, and one of my favorite times of day is at the end of the day, where the children of the class that I'm helping transition into the nap time, they head outside and I get a chance to, you know, lay out all the cots and bring the sleeping bags out. And I think that for my ADD brain, it is very relaxing and I feel victorious because there is a clear, you know, beginning, middle, and end to it. And it's amazing. And over the past couple of weeks, I've kind of had the chance to befriend or have some pleasant exchanges with one of the grandfathers that waits to pick up his child from preschool. And we had a very interesting discussion just about our topic today, sexuality and gender. And I was just saying how profound it's been to kind of unlearn a lot of the things I've learned over the years. I told him a little bit about the work that I do, and you know, we had a lovely discussion. His response to my kind of monologue was really fascinating. He basically said that I'm 75 years old. I don't feel like I have to unlearn anything. I know what I know, and that is true for me. And the only thing that I am accepting of is how another individual thinks and feels about themselves. And after this person kind of said it, I was just kind of dumbstruck. I was just kind of like, you know, there was a little bit of crickets, and there was definitely kind of a body scan on my end to see if, you know, am I defensive? How do I feel about this? I think that all I could come up with was like, thank you so much for sharing. You've given me a lot to think about. And I went back to setting the cots. And I feel like that is something to honor in terms of that generation that's above us, in terms of their, I guess I'll say unwillingness for the fear that I don't have any other words, but just like their non-budging attitude, their truth and their opposition for this new generation of thought, this new idea that sexuality and gender are two different things. This is something that they understand for people and they respect it depending on the individual. But for them, not only are they not changing, but they have a tremendous amount of compassion for everyone else's thought process and how they think and feel. And so I couldn't really be like, well, just listen to me a little bit more and I'll take you to my side. I couldn't do anything but respect this view. So I just want to share that because I think that it was an important important little bit for our discussion today. And it's kind of rocked my world. And I didn't get to talk to you about it because I knew that this topic was starting. So yeah, forgive me if I'm kind of at a loss for words with it, but it definitely was a little candy for our episode.
I love it. It's interesting. You know, he's kind of middle of the road, this grandfather, right? He's saying like, hey, I know what I know, and I know what I know for me, and that's, you know, that's all that matters. But hey, I respect other worldviews. When I was growing up, again, as we know, very anti-LGBTQ, anti-gay, very homophobic in my house. Transphobic wasn't even a word yet, so I wouldn't even know what they thought of that. But if my parents didn't like the gays, God knows what they would think about anything else. That would be even more like terrifying and like topsy-turvy for my parents to grasp and comprehend. So I don't know if I told anybody this, and I probably have at one point, but I was very homophobic growing up because of that. Because of that, it's like when I moved to New York, and saw gay people, you know, real all gay people for the first time, it was like, oh my God. And there was a, they're very lovely. I've worked with a couple of gay individuals. And I always felt at early on, I felt this like, oh, don't let it rub off on me. Like, don't try to hit on me. Like, I'm not all about that.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a matter of me unlearning that, not because I don't know if I ever thought it was gay. I never, like I said, this old gentleman was saying to you, like, I respected what they wanted to do. I never was like, ew, you're gross. I just didn't want it on me. Meaning, like, I didn't want people hitting on me because that's not what I was about. So I had my own problems with my own sexuality when it came to my cross-dressing, because this was during those years where I was coming to terms with, oh, my gender diversity is a real thing. I'm going to accept the label of cross-dresser / transvestite. And, but I always knew myself to be heterosexual. But then all of a sudden I started questioning my sexuality because, well, if I'm dressed as a woman, I must like men because that's like how it works. That if man loves woman, if woman loves man, therefore, because I love to dress, that must mean it's true. And I was like on this kind of like this fear spiral. Oh my God, am I gay? Am I gay? Did I not realize that either? And like having this angst about it and realizing, and because I saw these gorgeous drag queens and these gorgeous femme people and going, wow, they're so attractive. That also must mean I'm gay. So it was all these things all getting me topsy-turvy. It's like, but they're presenting as women and I think they're beautiful. So that must mean I like what's under the dress. And as we know, it's, you know, what your brain wants,
right?
What your sexual energy is attracted to. It's going to be that for me, that gorgeous person, a gorgeous woman at a bar, and me being 50 feet away is not going to deter that. If somebody says, hey, you know, that's a dude, right? It's like, well, I don't know. From this distance, they look pretty hot to me. You know, like that may steer the next conversation I have or approaching that person, but that has nothing to do with me having a problem with their sexuality. So, you know, we try to pack all this stuff in together. For me, it was like, well, you must be gay if you like to cross dress. Oh, you're dressed as a woman, but you see a man dressed as a woman and you think they're attractive. That must make you gay. It was all these stereotypes that I had to physically unlearn in order for me to accept my sexual orientation worldview. I love the feminine. I love women. So whatever that looks like is what I'm going to be attracted to.
Right. And kind of just to go back to what the conversation I had with the old man, he was simply saying that gender and sexuality are not different for him. For him as a 75-year-old man, it's not different, but he respects that I think it's different. And he respects that any other individual, but like at this age, he is so firm in his truth. And he knows that he doesn't want change, and that's fine with him. So just a little clarity on that.
Okay.
Also, to get back to your point, here you are drawn to the feminine. It took you a while to get to that point, and you know you must be drawn to like the fact that it's a man and genitalia and going off in this spiral. But I'd also like to bring up the idea that how many men have been quote tricked by the feminine and the seduction and this hot woman. And then it either ends in this, you know, it ends in this death or it ends in this moment where some dude at the, you know, his buddy, you know, taps on his shoulder and says, you know, that's a dude, right? And it results in this whole big thing. I mean, how many times is there stories of brutal attacks because maybe a man assumed that it was one thing? And what felt tricked or felt sometime bamboozled and felt like they had to take harmful action because if they didn't, that would mean that they were gay. That would mean that they liked it. Holy shit, I liked it. What does that mean? And so it's very convoluted. There's a lot of thought process to it. And I think that when someone, let's say they choose to go through a transition from male to female, when someone is coming to terms with their sexuality and they realize that they're gay or they're bi, and what does that mean? And what does this mean? There is transphobia that is inherently inside every individual, including trans folks. There is homophobia that is inherently in all of us. Just the fear of being gay, the fear, it penetrated through me so that, you know, later in life when I embraced my bisexuality or, you know, pansexuality or whatever, or, then there's this sexuality about, you know, being emotionally connected. Oh, that seems good. Oh, and I'm attracted to intellectual people. Okay. So there's that. So now we're in this world where we're constantly kind of fact checking how gay we are or how not. Do you know what I mean? Like if we're to explore this, there's so many different ways that the gay experience can look. And there's so many different ways as well that the transgender experience can look. I mean, my example about the pediatrician, I was specifically talking about those who were born in the wrong biology, kind of like 100%, right? And this is kind of revealed during puberty. And here you are on the other, you know, the other side of the United States saying, hey, don't lessen my transgender experience. I had a different transgender experience. So it's both things can be true. And it's very, it's a conversation that beyond this episode, or even if they listen to this episode and the episode that you were on, where you just really fucking, you nailed it, basically, this discussion, you did great. And I'm so proud of you. There are still many discussions to be had. So it's just kind of something that we're all just trying to process within our own experience, as well as if we choose, on a global scale, how we view humanity on a bigger scale. And I just find us to be in a fascinating time where we can either choose to grow and expand with the world and grow and expand with ourselves, or like this lovely gentleman, and he is so lovely, choose to stay and own what we know as our core beliefs. That's the choice as well that I have to honor and cherish. I feel like if we do this topic now, if we do this topic again a year from now, there will still be so much to discuss and it will be so relevant.
Agreed. Just for the listeners, what Julie was referring to, sapiosexuality is the attraction to the intellect, to smart people, to people who really command knowledge like that, and that's attractive to you. Demisexuality is the attraction to somebody who's attracted to you. So you have this emotional connection and you don't feel that romantic or sexual attraction until you know there's an emotional attraction as well. And ironically, those examples you gave have little to do with gayness. It has to do with how we as human beings are attracted to people. They just now have added a whole bunch of terms onto things to say, oh, well, if you like, you know, if you're really turned on by Einstein, it's like you really get you hot and going every time you hear him talking about equations.
Ooh, yeah, MC squared. MC squared. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like to put my E into your MC squared. What?
Ah, fractums.
So the point is that there's so many other labels now of defining love or defining the attractiveness of people. And what does that mean? And what do we call that when we love it, when somebody loves us, or like there has to be this emotional bond between us before we can even think about love? There's all these names that we can, it's deep rooted. There's dozens and dozens of hop in name here, dash sexual. So asexuals who don't, like they could be in a relationship, but really have no interest in sex or, you know, sexuality. It goes the gamut, just like gender does. The thing is those two things, those two platters, those two universes of all the gender diversity that exists, you know, in the universe versus all the sexuality that exists in the universe. You can't plot point one specific thing against one specific thing. If that were the case, then the tent poles of I am man and I see myself as a cis male means that I love women. And opposite, it's true for cis women who love men. If that was the only diversity we had, we wouldn't be having half these conversations. But you can't line us up. Hence, we have homosexuals and lesbians and bisexuals and everything in between and out of bounds. To try to put those in the same categories or to line up those stereotypical causations that if you are X, then you must be Y, is really kind of limited in your scope of thinking.
Here, here.
And there. And everywhere.
And I could see how people of a certain generation will just like, yeah, I'm good. To some extent, because it's so, there's so much.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, respecting and honoring humans for how they wish to think of respect, whether it be different than how you think or not, it's always a safe bet. You know, you could join the parade or you can just let it pass by and be and cheer, I guess, because everyone is living their truth. And I think that that's really what it comes down to, is as long as no one's trying to push an agenda. I think if I would have been like, all right, I have a problem with what you just said, and like put down the cots and put down the nap bags and took a knee and shared this like agenda with, you know, and allowed this person's quote limited thinking to penetrate through my thoughts and feelings that I am still working through, there would be a problem. I would be the problem, I think, in this scenario. So I think that approaching this lovingly and gently and as it pertains to you and your world, I think is best. You know, because yeah, you don't want anyone to tell you something that you are not, it's not even not ready to hear. I mean, that what the first thing I wanted to say about that they're just not ready to hear, or they just don't want to hear it. They're fine with it, how they've thought about sexuality, excuse me, and gender as two separate things. They were very confident, and I was just kind of enamored in their confidence because want to thank them for their perspective on things, because I really, it has kind of been a very much us versus them mentality in my mind for a while. And then I was just faced with a moment where I'm just like, wow, owning your point of view in the same way I own my point of view is pretty stunning. And as long as I'm kind and I accept someone's truth as their truth, that's great. And I'm like, that is great, or whatever. But it was a unique discussion. And I love to be constantly humbled in the work that I do. And I love to hear all sorts of modalities. And yes, 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 yes.
I think it's funny when you said that, I was thinking about any teenage kid when their mother says, I don't like that boy. That boy's not right for you, or that girl's not right for you. Or, you know, it's like, tell me who to love. I was like, I'm going to love who I want to love. And like, they get married. It's like, I don't think you should marry that person. It's like, don't tell me what to do. And it's, I don't know why that just popped in my head. Like that being
right.
In reality, you honestly, you can advise and you can counsel, but you really can't tell anybody how to love.
Yes. You can't. And it's really interesting how much I'm pushing this, you can be gay, it's okay, like thing in my house, where Remy is just giving me the side eye. Like I do this thing right before, like, I don't know, there's a moment where like people of the same gender could possibly kiss, where it's obnoxious, where I've like done this the time Remy was little, like kiss, kiss, kiss. So now whenever there's a moment where two girls are sitting side by side, right, we'd be like kiss, kiss, kiss. It's so obnoxious. But I am like, I want her to be the opposite of my parents. And I want her to know that, like, not only if you're gay is this acceptable, but like, I guess I need to start pushing the straight agenda. You know what I mean? Because she'll be like, Mom, is it okay that I'm not gay? I'll be like, yes, sweetie. Bye. As long as you're happy. I need to meet this boy. I'll pray that he's a trans boy. But if not, yes. Who are his parents? How did they raise him? God damn it. All right. That's... But yes, I'm happy if you meet a boy. A cis boy. Fine. Fine.
That's fine. Be yes, be hetero, whatever. And trust me, expansive sexuality and expansive gender doesn't mean we don't want everybody to identify as cis and hetero if they wanna. You know, it's like we're not pushing them. You can't be that. It's just that, like, don't try to kill who we are. Yeah. And don't try to kill us for who we are. That's all. We're not out there looking for everybody with a cishet tattoo and it's running them out of town. That's not what it's about. It's just like, let us love and let us live. That's it. We just want equity. And I don't understand why it's not the case.
Right. And who is this cis boy that you're bringing home? Right. Are they an ally? Mom, they have two dads. All right. I need to see pictures.
I need to meet your two dads before we go on the state.
Right.
Anyway, I mean, we could go deep into this conversation. There's way more, like you said, there's way more that could develop in the next year. There's plenty of things going on now. But to summarize, your biology does not dictate who you love and that you have to be stereotypically drawn to a certain person. That's just not the way our biology and humanity works. Your gender diversity of how you want to present yourself and how you feel inside does not dictate who you want to love and who you're drawn to and attracted to. There's just too many variables and too many ways to love and too many people to love. It's like a lot of people don't even care what people look like and they just care about the spirit of the person, you know, which is the whole of who you are. And that's what's attractive to so many people. And you're like, oh my God, why is that super, super tall guy with that really, really short woman? It's like, that's so incompatible. It's like, but it doesn't matter if she's got to climb up on that beast to ride the mountain.
Ooh, maybe she likes it.
Hello. But it's that kind of thing. It's like, you know, we always talk about in my age growing up, you know, my dad would like always side eye and make some stupid ass comment about, oh, look at that, you know, white girl with that black man. I was like, okay. So now people of color can't even mix. You know, that was number one. You can't be gay because, you know, you can't go biology to the same biology. So wait, so you don't like people that aren't the same color to be together, but you want people of the same biology not to be together. So I don't know, man. It seems like your logic is really, really topsy-turvy. I don't know what to do about it. Yeah, just live in love the way you want to live in love. Identify the way you want to identify. Do not allow like how you see yourself as an individual, as a human being, again, tell you how you should love and who you should love. So that is all I have to say about that.
Love it. Savannah, can you tell us one more time what the interview is that you had with this doctor where you
absolutely do that. This is the Happiness Journey with Dr. Dan with special guest Savannah Hawk. That's me.
Oh, wait, who is this? Is it H-A-U-K?
Oh, it is. Yes, it is H-A-U-K. I will add the link to the actual podcast episode in the show notes that you can see it and listen. Actually, it is only audio, so you can listen to it and enjoy. I had a good time on it. I love being on other people's podcasts as well because it forces me to, stay on my toes and answer things that I might not have thought of and get different views that Julie and I don't necessarily share or have thought about, which is why we're always looking for ideas. So if you have ideas, let us know what they are. And we have that information at the end of the show as well and how to get a hold of us. But Julie, my love,
yes.
What should we do now? I think we should wrap up.
Yes, I think we should wrap up, but I also want to say one thing before we say our goodbyes.
Okay.
And that is, I just want to give a wholehearted shout out of appreciation to the editor and the producer of this podcast, and that is Savannah Hawk, H-A-U-K, because every week she works tirelessly throughout the week on editing this beautiful engine that is the Fox and the Phoenix podcast. And it is worth it to her. It is a labor of love, but it is still a labor. It is still a labor that takes over her other creative endeavors, which there are many of those. So my appreciation for you, and I know I can speak on behalf of all the listeners that tune in every week, is my cuppeth is overfloweth. So I wanted to get that in this week because I think about it often and I mention it to you often, but I want our listeners to know, and I want you to know on this fine Wednesday, just how much I appreciate you. And you have really made it possible for me to live the life of my dreams with you as my partner. So thank you so much on behalf of all of us. We are so thankful for what you do. And you are the reason that we are able to reach so many individuals and help so many individuals. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And goodbye for now.
Wow. Thank you. Until next time.
You can find me on Facebook at Savannah Hawk or at Living with Crossdressing and on Instagram at Savannah Hawk. Remember, that's H-A-U-K. And to learn more, go to my website, livingwithcrossdressing.com.
And you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Fox and Hanger or at Julie MTF Style, as well as on our website at foxandhanger.com.
Julie, it's your moment.
Fox and the Phoenix podcast uses Anchor, copyright 2023.
Yes, nailed it.
If you enjoy our content and want to make it easier for others to find us, please share with your friends. Tap the subscribe or follow button to the show wherever you're listening. Give it a 5-star rating or leave a review.
And for show ideas or comments, contact us through the podcast on Facebook at Fox and Phoenix Podcast or on Instagram at the Fox and the Phoenix Podcast _.